B-Pod Studios.
After a long day, don't trust your sports to just anyone.
That's right, man.
Adam Jones. Yeah. Nights on the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
P's and four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my god, I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow. I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my god. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my god.
Just like the name of my favorite rap album, this weekend we're getting 12 inches of snow. It is the Toucher and Rich Show, and...
Have you been informed of that?
Yes, about all the channels. They've all been informers in one way or the other. Informer's not a bad song. Not a bad song at all.
It bothers the hell out of me.
I loved it.
Oh, you guys are nuts.
I don't think... If Informer's on somewhere... Like, you're not like, oh, this sucks. You're like, you're
no, it's ironic. It's an ironic listen. It's not like, oh, this is really cool.
I don't.
He laid down some really good lyrics there.
It doesn't have to be like cool. You don't got to like feel like, you know, Fonzie or something to enjoy a song. It's just when it's on, it doesn't annoy me. I'm just like, all right.
A lot of third person, you know? You know, when I'm a snow me, you know, my name is snow me, I'm to blame.
You actually tried to pinpoint lyrics in that song?
Yeah, the detective tried to me something.
I find the whole thing pointless, but all right.
Yeah, I don't even know, like, I think that, this is going to sound strange, I do believe that he is somewhat respected in the...
By whom? Who's he respected by?
I don't know.
What? I mean, you see, like, Eminem's like, Dre this and Dre that. There's some...
ninth grade self?
There's some guy with, you know, some high schooler trying to drop the patois and say, you know what? I got to go talk to Snow. I need to talk to this guy. I'd like to. Can we read these lyrics aloud later?
Oh my God! Yeah.
Well, we don't need to read them. There's already some. David Pasternak did it for us.
Informer, you know, said he know me. I will blame. A licky boom boom down. Detective said, "Daddy, me know me. Someone down the lane." A licky boom boom down. Informer, you know, said he know me. I will blame. A licky boom boom down. Detective said, "Daddy, me know me. Someone down the lane." A licky boom boom down.
Cool Runnings.
Okay. I actually helped, you know, get everyone together. I called Nick. We were at Cuts. We were doing ping pong by then.
So it was
Pucks and Paddles.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I had Nick come up, and I just happened to be right place, right time. Here, Pasternak's waiting. So Nick went in there, and I had a chance to watch him record a few of those. I was in the room when he did that one.
Yeah.
And you should have seen how mystified he was just reading those lyrics. And that's what I come back to every time I now hear that song.
Yeah.
I think of David Pasternak's completely mystified look while he's reading them.
As you could tell by the lightning quick edits, that is my masterpiece.
I heard Detective Daddy is what I heard.
I mean, the words he read might have been 2 minutes long. And what it had to get crammed into was 25 seconds.
Exactly.
And so you, I mean, it was just like, there's so many words he jams in there. And Pasternak's like, what the hell is this? He didn't
know
what half of those songs were. You know what any of them were.
So I go back to my original point. Come on. Really?
Snow is, okay, there's songs that come on, you're like, oh, this song sucks. That's not one of them. One, it makes you smile. It makes you like laugh. Like, all right, this is fine. Yeah, all right.
I laugh in the sheer absurdity of it all. I know you are into it, and I didn't know you were, but you're into it.
Come on now.
I know Zolak's like, dude, this is awesome! You know,
Well, this is that heyday, right? That 90, was it 92? I'm going to say 92.
That probably sounds right. That sounds about right. But it was like, but that's one of those songs that there's some, you know, kind of dumb songs from back in the day. Is it 93? Okay. Yeah. Well, there's some dumb songs from back in the day that are still good. Like, right. Like on the radio.
As a listener of dumb songs, I think we can all agree that I
Remember 90210.
I didn't say parody and novelty songs. Like, I'm not talking fish heads.
If that's true, and I think this song is bad, come on now.
Well, 90210 would drop a song. Remember Right Kind of Love?
Jeremy Jordan.
Well, Jeremy Jordan, I mean, he was the next big thing. Wasn't he the star of The Heights?
That's the next one. Ray Pruitt, who was Jamie...
How do you tell?
Yeah, there you go,
to an angel.
That's the guy who was Ray Pruitt on 90210. That was his song.
Yeah, I forget what that dude's name was. And I wasn't even like I didn't watch those shows, but you couldn't avoid that. That was everywhere in the public consciousness. No, that's unfair. You know, that's a fine song. Like, how do you hate that song?
I don't hate it. I just, you guys are like, oh yeah, kind of cool. I never thought that at all.
I also thought Ice Ice Baby was awesome when it came out.
Okay, Ice Baby just reminds me of being like the high school football locker room. And like, I remember at one point, like all of a sudden they all started rapping it and I'm just like, this is the dumbest song I've ever. Like, what do you understand? I was like a metalhead, but you know, Ice Ice Baby, even back in the day when I saw Vanilla Ice, I'm like, this dude's a cheese bag. Like, I mean, like, you could sniff him from a mile away. I actually like him now. He's kind of become fairly self-deprecating. Did I tell you about the one time? This was, oh man, maybe 2001. Vanilla Ice went through this weird thing where he became obsessed with like the band Korn, and he wanted to do a metal album, and he got Korn's producer Ross Robinson, and he made this like quote unquote metal album, which me being a guy who was all about hardcore, I mean, it's the worst thing. It's
brutal.
It's just brutally awful. It's the worst. So, but he was going to be playing around where I lived. And when I say around where I lived, I'm not saying the city I lived in. No, I would say about an hour and 15 minutes in the sticks. This is like when Corey Feldman played at, what was that place called? The Whiskey Barrel?
Yeah, North Shore. I remember that. Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, what was that? What town was that? Was the Whiskey Barrel in that? I mean, it was like a mile from the New Hampshire border.
It's near where you live, Joe.
It's even further than out in Haverhill. It would be like playing in like Leominster or something like that. And it was a pool hall that Vanilla Ice was playing at.
South Hadley, Mass. Wherever the hell that is.
Is that where the Whiskey Barrel was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's like central Mass. That's like,
No, that's not where it was. I went up north. It was kind of near New Hampshire, if I'm not mistaken.
You were in Haverhill.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Nice downtown.
So I was, I went to this thing and I showed up and it was almost like Spinal Tap. All right, because you remember how the sign when they were playing at that like amusement park, it was like a puppet show and Spinal Tap.
Okay,
this one it said Vanilla Ice and free pool until 9. So I was like, okay. Jesus. So I go into this place. He's charging $30, like $30 to get in, and I'm working for a radio station at the time, so I think it's a funny story. So I say I'm going to go ahead and go on in there. So I go in. It's maybe 60 people in this pool hall. And it's a legitimate pool hall. There is something that they have created that wasn't normally a stage. You could tell this is just where usually like tables for people to drink were and eat like crappy nachos or whatever. They just cleared it out.
Is that like the riser that's 6 inches off the ground, like one flat stage?
It wasn't even there was no riser. They put this drum kit. There was a drum kit sitting there, and the you know, the front where the kick drum was, it said ice on it in like these gothic like tap out type of letters.
Okay.
Like Christian Augier, you know, almost like the Ed Hardy stuff. And then there was a guitar amp, and so you know, you're like, all right, well obviously I'm at the right place. Vanilla Ice is going to be playing here. And at 8 o'clock, a drummer a guitarist and Vanilla Ice show up. Now, remember, there's no bass player or anything. They couldn't afford to even bring a bass guitarist. I don't know if you've ever seen a band before that has, like, no, it's just a guitar and a drummer. It's the worst sounding thing ever. Like, there's no low end or it's a rap. He's a rapper. There's no low end.
The bass is, like, behind the curtain. I've seen that.
There's not even a track that he's going to write. He comes out there and he's like, yeah, what's up, mother effers? And at the time he goes, welcome to Atlanta. You're like 90 minutes away from Atlanta. You're nowhere near Atlanta at the time. I'm like, all right, dude. And he gets up there and he tries to like do this big like gangster, I'm angry at the world type thing. And he goes, you know what I say? I say, and he plays five songs. And he goes, I say, F Ice Ice Baby. And the crowd's like, no, it's why we want to hear Ice Ice Baby. It's why we're here. We want to hear Ice Ice Baby. And he goes, but here's a new reimagining of Ice Ice Baby for all you hardcore mother effers. And he has a metal version of Ice Ice Baby. And then after six songs, the show is over. And when I say the show is over, literally, the owner came out and said, everybody leave, and made everybody clear the bar. It's like 9 o'clock.
Why?
I have no idea. And I'm like, dude, it's a bar. And I was barely, there's free pool until 9. Well, I guess at 9 o'clock.
There it is.
They wanted to clear the place out. I don't know why. Maybe, I honestly think it's because the owner was so pissed that Vanilla Ice didn't bring the thousands of people that he thought it was going to bring. And he just was like, I guarantee you, Vanilla Ice or the manager of Vanilla Ice and this guy had a fight about how much they were supposed to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
Because I bet he had a guarantee. And like, dude, you broke me. Like, you literally broke me. And I can't give you this money. And I guarantee you, he was so pissed at everything that he kicked everybody out of the bar.
Yeah, that's funny. So I remember when he tried to go like hardcore. He was on MTV and he took like a baseball bat to the set.
Sure.
You remember that?
It was on the Surreal Life. He went and smashed his own CDs like that.
That's right.
But since then, Vanilla Ice has kind of come around on that.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of Adam Sandler. Is it Adam Sandler
movies? Which was excellent.
Yeah.
Like That's My Boy was like a good Adam Sandler movie that came out of nowhere. Like that one is maybe a top three Sandler film? Top five at least.
I'll go top five.
Yeah. But it was great. And that, by the way, then that was with a decade of crap before it and a decade of crap after
it. See, it's hard to pick those out because you see Sandler come out with a movie like, I'm not going to watch
There's
that.
Like Vanilla Ice, Suge Knight, him going hardcore, and then Adam Sandler movies.
Sure. You know what I mean? But now he's like, I've heard him in interviews.
Oh, does the flip houses thing now.
What's that?
Yeah, he flips houses.
Yeah, he's been doing that for a while. Yeah. And I guess he's done okay with it. I think he's in a Bob's Furniture commercial right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, I looked up and I could have sworn I saw him on TV recently.
Right.
But I think he's actually come around and he's embraced. You know what he did? Okay. Here's who I'll compare him to. Do you remember when we used to have Brian Scalabrine on and he used to get pissed when people would like scream his name at the end of games?
Yes.
Like,
at the beginning. Yes.
He got like really uptight about
it. He wasn't in on the joke yet. Yes.
And
I remember that.
And now he's like embraced it.
Yes.
You hear him on the broadcast and you know, Mike Gorman's giving him crap during the blowout games. Like, this is the kind of game that you would have played, right?
Yeah.
And so Scal's like, oh yeah, I would have dominated.
Yes.
That's what Vanilla Ice has become. He's like looked at and he's like the Brian Scalabrine of rap. He has said, you know, this is who I was. I'm going to embrace it. People like me this way. And you know what? He seems to be a fairly likable guy now. Once you do that, you say, all right, well, it was a little cheesy, but you know, I made a ton of money and I had a great time and I'm famous and I can still make money if I want to go out on one of these tours with the New Kids on the Block, one of these nostalgia tours, the mixtape tour, something like that. You know, there's always going to be money for a guy like Vanilla
Ice.
Like
him, MC Hammer, like they all just go out.
Oh, you know what? I'd go if MC Hammer went back out on tour and did all the, I mean, MC Hammer, by the way, went through his gangster phase also end of his career.
Pumps in a rump.
That's right. So, but
is that gangster though?
What he tried? It's
Compton,
MC
went
Hammer's
style.
No, it's MC Hammer's.
He was
version
a part of Ruthless
of
Records.
No. It was MC Hammer's version.
Oh no,
of that,
no, he was part of Death Row. He was a part of Death Row, I believe.
Hang on, MC Hammer got signed to Death Row. I didn't realize.
Yeah. Right at the end when he tried to come back and he wore the two cat down low and he tried to, you know, assume the gangster stance. It was really bad.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was. He didn't understand that, though. But anyway, if Vanilla Ice went back on tour and did all his old stuff with MC Hammer, I'd go.
So if Vanilla
I'd
Ice,
go in a second.
If Vanilla Ice went to Big Night Live right now and sold it as if I'm Vanilla Ice.
Yes. But
yeah.
He'd sell it out.
Yes.
No Vanilla
yes,
kick it
would.
One time. Boy, you can play like 9 songs, including Go Ninja Go.
Yep.
And
you have to do the ninja rap. Yeah. There's no question.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to go, it's like his second biggest hit, I think.
I don't know. Maybe like locally, like a Bobby Brown, MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice.
Bobby Brown's coming to the TD Garden.
Grew up down the street from here.
Sure. But I mean, but Belle Biv DeVoe, now that's a show. Have you had your tickets yet?
I do not have my tickets
that's
yet.
That's like Wallach Palooza.
I know.
I love Bobby.
I love the old Bobby Brown stuff, man.
Yeah.
Before Whitney. You know, but the old Bobby.
Who doesn't love that stuff? I mean, it's once again.
The don't be cruel.
Humping around.
Don't be cruel, my prerogative. Humping around.
No, sure. I'm talking after my prerogative. Though.
We're like right before Whitney.
He was like, you know, gangster, but a little bit of hip-hop. He was like a Jodeci kind of wannabe, you know, himself.
Yeah, that's New Jack Edwards stuff. We had New Jack Edwards do Humping Around.
Oh, yeah. Did we have him?
Yes,
do that?
We did. I remember. I was in the meeting when we pitched it. He did. He did Humping Around.
Off my back.
There you go.
Save your heart attack. Ain't nobody humping around.
New Jack Edwards.
No matter what they say. No, it ain't that way. Ain't nobody humping around.
Dope beats one. Whackness zero.
That's right. So I don't know why you haven't got tickets to that show yet.
What is it?
I forgot. It's March,
like,
right?
It's like the beginning of March.
Is it really?
Like 4 or 5 weeks away.
Okay.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
I want to get them in studio. I would love to get Bell Bentivoe in studio.
They'd come.
They would do their local. I mean,
they'd be here.
They're local guys.
I bet you they listen. I will bet you, they, if not to this show, they listen to the radio station.
All right.
I will bet you.
Not to this show.
Bimmons. No, none of them are up this early.
I'm friendly but I bet with you somebody anything, who knows Bob.
No, I'll bet you anything Bimmons listens to this show.
All right. If they're not on tour right now, because first of all, I guarantee you that's their biggest show. Bell Bentivoe will not draw anywhere bigger than, I think, Boston. And for the reasons you just named, because they're obviously from here. But if any of the members of Bell Bentivoe are listening right now, 617-779-0985.
Please.
I will buy breakfast for everybody if one of the members
Bivens.
Of Bell Bentivoe
call.
Yes.
Call right now.
In on that.
I'm hungry. I told Rich before the show, he knows it, that I'm hungry.
If we get either Bell, Biv, or DeVoe, or Bobby Brown.
Or Trezvan. Trezvan's listening.
Any member of New Edition.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to call it now, I know that the members of the Funky Bunch listen. That doesn't count. I know they're local, and I know that they're probably... If any member of New Edition calls this morning, lunch is on me. So, Nick, eyes on the phones, all right? This is a very, 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 very important task. And I need you to have a screener question ready to go to prove that they are indeed one of the members of New Edition. No fakes, please. 617-779-0985 if you happen to be a member. Maybe somebody knows them. Maybe you work with them somewhere.
Work with them?
I don't know.
Doing
what
exactly?
Hey, listen, who knows? I haven't kept up with the... I know that Michael Bivins is loaded. I know that he did a bunch of producing.
He's
stuff,
got that so. ABC Boys to Men money.
He doesn't have to do this tour. But either way, I want them in studio. I want... Because to me... John, that is like, I can't think of as someone who would like tickle the wallet goose more than those guys coming in here, would ruffle the feathers. You might have to show up in your pirate shirt that you used to rock down at Providence.
Oh, yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, the very thin, thin tie I had on that day.
You used to slay the chicks down there. All right, we've got some interesting news, and you want to talk about completely conflicting stories between yesterday and today. On the future of Josh McDaniels, we will get to all of that. Also, some good news if you're a Patriots fan. We'll get to that all after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
Oh, it's Toucher and Rich, and Dan, keep on the phones here. Let's go to these calls here, people. We told the members of Bell Biv DeVoe if they're calling, and let's see. Hello. Hello. Yes, you're on Toucher and Rich. Oh, hello. Oh, well, looks like no one for Bell Biv DeVoe is calling.
I think people in the music industry generally do not wake up at 6:25 in the morning. I think it's more like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
You know what they say, they ain't leaving until 6 in the morning.
I've been told that the members of New Edition still live here in town, and if they are, as I said, feel free to call this morning.
Great.
It would make John Wallach's morning, 617-779. 0985. All right. Well, remember that story years ago yesterday that said Josh McDaniels was a leading candidate to get the job in Las Vegas and then, quote, something happened to blow it all up? Well, apparently that was garbage. We've got ourselves now a good old-fashioned source war because now, according to Adam Schefter, Mark Davis has sent out the literal bat signal, I'm sure from his race car bed, to summon Josh McDaniels to an interview this weekend where he is highly expected to take the Raiders head coaching job. So Patriots director of player personnel, Dave Ziegler, he's already been interviewed. And the story was that he basically had his foot in the door and then insisted on Josh McDaniels being his coach. And that's where things got gray. But either way, it went sour. Now the two of them are reportedly coming as a combo. This is on top of Gerard Mayo already having interviewed with Vegas as well. How could these two reports from two very reputable sources, the first one was from The Athletic, the last one was from Adam Schefter, how can those reports be so diametrically opposed? Like, who did the story yesterday benefit if it wasn't true? The other coaching candidates? Like, somebody really wanted that job and they heard that Josh McDaniels was like in the lead, and then so they put something out there to make it sound like it had all soured. And what happened to the Harbaugh news? Like, I thought that he was somebody who was tied in with Las Vegas. I guess the Raiders are calling BS on that, it sounds like, as well, because they would have gone with Harbaugh if they thought he was truly available. How does this happen where you have two completely different stories out there?
Here's, and I thought the same thing you did. If you're Josh McDaniels, you show up and say, okay, I mean, we had a good interview and Mark Davis, you know, puts away his Tinker Toys and, you know, like Lincoln Logs and says, okay, well, I want you as my head coach. And Josh is like, well, that's great, but I'm not coming here unless Ziegler comes with me. And any owner looks at the head coach and goes, you don't call the shots. This is my team, not yours. And at that point, he goes to a whoever and says, you know, we had it, but it's not going to happen now because Ziegler, we're not sold on Ziegler yet. Then you go back, you talk to Ziegler, and Ziegler's like, well, you know, and you find common ground, and now you want Ziegler, and that means you go back to Josh McDaniels and go, okay, now I'm willing to take you as a pair.
So what you're saying is that Josh McDaniels, in your opinion, won his first battle with ownership by that happening?
Yes.
Yeah. And everything I've heard, they wanted to do the process GM coach.
Yes.
They always thought McDaniels.
Yes.
But when they talked to Wolf, they were convinced this is our guy, but they wanted to do their due diligence on everyone.
Well, yes. But that does sound to me like Mark Davis at first was like, as you said, bowing up like, you don't tell me what to do. And then once you realize, oh, I really wanted this guy. And now he's back with his hat in his hands saying, all right, let's get it. Come over here, you big lug. Let's go to the Changs.
Yep.
And now I have a feeling that, you know, I mean, it sounds like this is going to happen. Now, according to Adam Schefter, this is also interesting as well. A different side of this is that if the Raiders decide to sign Josh McDaniels and get a deal done this weekend, a potential offensive coordinator replacement here in New England could be none other than Bill O'Brien. Now, I think was it you or Mike I was talking to this morning, and it was immediately met with like a little bit of a groan. And to that I say, listen, Bill O'Brien obviously sucked as the de facto GM down in Houston. He made some of the worst possible decisions in the history of the sport.
He did some good ones, too. I mean, let's...
Take that decision-making away from him, he was a good coordinator while he was here.
That's my whole thing, is that I don't see any evidence that he was a bad offensive coordinator. Now, a lot of people, the big knock on him would be the same that was been on Josh McDaniels before the season, and that was, well, you had Tom Brady, and he covers up a bunch of mistakes. But he thrived under him. We know that he's not going to screw him up. You know what I mean? It's like I don't think he's going to screw up Mac Jones. On top of that, I mean, were you really like? Is it that much of a downgrade from Josh McDaniels? Like,
no, he walks in with the credibility too. If indeed this happens and they hire Bill O'Brien, if and when Josh McDaniels goes to Vegas. You know, he walks in that room with the immediate respect of everyone in there because he was the guy that was able to stand up to Tom Brady. He was the guy who started screaming at him on the sidelines. He's the guy who is an offensive coordinator, was the offensive coordinator for the best quarterback of all time, not just for 1 year, for multiple years. I think, you know, Mac Jones will stand at attention and go, oh, you're not the guy I had last year, but I know all about you. You know, what can I learn? So, and I understand, and I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday, and they were saying, well, does Mac Jones need a guy that's going to be much more combative than McDaniels was? And I'm thinking, it's not combative. It's a guy who has proven he can get the job done.
Did anyone see what he did at Alabama this year?
He blew it.
No, he blew it in the final game.
Yeah, the final game.
But they had two receivers. I will defend him. He beat Georgia, the best team in the country, 3 weeks before, and nobody gives him credit for that. But then he goes and loses because he's down, literally lost his two best wide receivers. All I'm trying to say is the Alabama connection's there. Like, look right. What he just
it
did with a freshman quarterback.
He's, you know, one of, I mean? Like, he's one of Belichick's guys. I mean, he knows the organization. He's also one of Saban's guys, which makes him a huge positive exactly. In Bill's mind. It makes all the sense in the world.
Bill doesn't have to worry about him.
Right.
He's going to run the offense.
Plug and play.
And
absolutely.
And that's my big thing with this. If they can win this offseason, which Bill Belichick did, by the way, and I'm just saying this, if somehow Mayo goes with him, like, now they got a defensive coordinator. They have their guy who's running the offense.
Let me ask you
this.
Why would he? Because I'm hearing this too. Why would Gerard Mayo go and be the defensive coordinator for the Raiders when he's being interviewed for head coaching jobs right now?
So I don't know about that, but Eberflus was a guy that McDaniels brought in to Indianapolis. And so he found him. Look at him. He's a head coach, six years later? So I just think it makes sense. And Mayo maybe might want to go there for a year, have the title,
yeah, I was just
and
gonna
then
say.
Go and get the
an actual the title, defensive coordinator title.
See, that doesn't matter.
But it worked for Matt Patricia, though. Worked for Brian Flores. And when you have that title,
he's already getting interviews.
Maybe it's because he's not the de facto guy.
But no, I mean, nobody's. I mean, only a couple people have gotten jobs so far. I mean, he's still gotten two people. I think now two different teams.
Yeah.
Have spoken to him. Now, whether or not the Raiders are interviewing him because they do feel that he would be the defensive coordinator if they brought in Josh McDaniels, that's another thing.
Houston's a different story because they're trying to find a guy they can control. Like, they had, like, Josh McCownin, an old quarterback. Like, sure. But Mayo, they think he could be that type of guy, too. My only thing is this. If you lose Mayo, I think Flores might be the best one of the best coaches
available. And it's actually interesting. I was talking to Rich about this before the show started. Think about it. We could bring the whole band back together.
You could
bring in, you have O'Brien as the offensive coordinator. And Flores, and I know he interviewed with the Giants yesterday, but it seems like the Giants are locked in on Brian Daboll. Say Daboll goes to the Giants, all of a sudden Flores is out of jobs.
The second Daboll gets hired, Flores gets hired. I think it's like one of those things where there's
great. There goes the Sun connection, the issues on the team. This could help you in free agency. He's going to coach up some of the young players.
But does Flores go? But I understand Caserio's there. No. Does Flores go to Houston?
Yeah, I think that's one of the places.
I don't know.
But Watson wants to go with Flores. And I all along, we know that Caserio has wanted Watson back. I just think that owner does not want Watson. Well,
and Watson doesn't want sense. Him. Watson doesn't want to stay with that team. He's been asked before.
Yeah.
He's, regardless of if Flores shows up or doesn't show up, he's not playing for Houston again.
Well, the
Saints one is interesting. But, I mean, there's still a bunch of positions that are open. I just have a feeling that if you're Brian Flores, why the hell would you come back to the Patriots when everyone
paid.
Wants
only if you
gonna,
don't no, get another
he's
job.
He's going to get paid as a head coach.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah, not here. No. I mean, he'll get paid.
The Patriots love that. You should, know?
Sure.
Like,
only if, say, if he doesn't get a job, if Flores is completely shut out and Bill calls him, does he come?
If he's completely shut out, sure.
That was
he's
that,
not going to be.
That's, no, he's not taking. He's not going to be the Patriots defensive coordinator if he gets offered the job in Houston or in New Orleans or anywhere else. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. I thought Flores would have been hired by now.
Well, I mean, how many? What, three hirings?
No,
two?
Three hirings, but he wasn't he wasn't even a finalist for any of these jobs. That's what I was stunned
maybe
by.
Maybe there's something to Flores getting involved with the GM, you know, and the way that he wanted to do things. He said some things to Tua, we heard. This, like, maybe there's things to Flores that maybe he's a really good, like, coordinator. And listen, his record speaks for itself. He did a damn good job in Miami. But
he was okay.
Maybe there's communication issues.
He was okay. I wouldn't say it was a massive success.
I think he got that team to play when they had nothing to play for. And that says a lot about coaching.
He saved Tua. I mean, Tua is now still a quarterback in this league.
I honestly think that Tua would not have played nearly as much under a different head coach. And I will. I keep coming back.
The proof's in the pudding. Two is a success story.
I keep. All right. Here's a better example. When Miami came here in Brady's last year, and the Patriots were playing for a first round bye at home, and Miami had four or five wins, came here and beat the Patriots in Foxborough. That's the head coach.
All I've heard my whole life is that, hey, you know, the Patriots, they seem to eat it at the end of the year into Miami. So are you going to give all of a sudden Brian Flores credit, or is that a Miami thing? Because all I've been hearing is that, no, it's just there's this weird voodoo down there whenever they go visit.
Well, you can't play both sides. You never believed in that. You were like, oh, whatever.
I never said that.
They beat them first game.
I never said I didn't believe in the final game being a weird thing. It's always a weird thing.
They beat them. The Dolphins beat them this year in New England.
They did. Yes, they did.
Yes. Brian Flores can coach.
But I will say this, though. I think it would be good for Mac Jones if there was a new offense here. I think they need a new philosophy. And
you want to go full throttle with this quarterback? I think Josh McDaniels played Mac Jones perfectly.
I think at times they held him back, but I think Bill O'Brien coming in, he did great at Penn State. He did really well.
I'm not saying he's not. Well, what I'm saying is I think the offensive philosophy is perfect for what this quarterback can do right now.
No, I agree. And I don't think the philosophy will change much. I just think what I mean by philosophy is the type of receiver. A lot of their guys are guys who catch the ball and fall. They need the dynamic catch the ball and Deion Branch type.
Well, that has nothing to do with the offensive coordinator. It has to do with the guys bringing the people
but
in.
But still, they bring him in, he'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think it's less philosophy and more talent. But I see what you're saying, and I totally get that part. But we're going to take a break, and when we get back, though, there is a report that came out this morning that makes me think that another red flag has popped up with the Josh McDaniels hire. I saw the story this morning, and I'm telling you, Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator of the Patriots. I would be happy if he stayed. I think he did a very good job this year. I thought he was impressive. And I think that it might actually be a step backwards if you get rid of him and bring in someone else. But if I'm another team, I'm not hiring that guy. There's no way in hell I would even touch that dude with a 10-foot pole. And there's a story that came out this morning that just adds more flames to the fire that this could be a bad decision by Vegas. We'll get to that right after Walk's headline. I'm sorry, after Joe Murray's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening, you are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friend.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich, and we're just talking about Josh McDaniels and this new report. We'll have Bert Breer on with us in a few minutes, and it's a good morning to have him on with all the moving around that's happening with the Josh McDaniels thing's fascinating, because yesterday we had this story that came out from The Athletic that basically said that they liked him, and then something happened that I guess completely, I don't know, turned them off from the prospect of hiring him, and all of a sudden he's the guy. And it sounds like this weekend they are going to end up hiring him and Ziegler as the GM as well. And with all of this, there's all these different stories that are starting to leak out about it. I know that Josh had I guess, been calling people to put together a team because he realistically thought this was going to happen for a while now.
The coach is like, I'm sorry, I've been down this road before.
Yeah.
Once you get hired and stay hired 24 hours, then I'll come on.
Boy. So I saw this morning. Aaron Wilson, a guy who I guess was important enough for Ben Volen to retweet.
He covers the Texans.
He does?
Yes.
Okay. Because yes. On there, I thought it said formerly covers the Houston Texans.
Oh, is that right? He's out now?
I don't know.
I knew that.
Okay. So he tweeted this. He said, before the Raiders made a formal request to interview Josh McDaniels, there were back channel conversations for weeks to determine if he would pursue the job, per league sources. Once that clarity was gained, that he was all in, the request was made, and now he's a top candidate. You know, I would say that hesitancy would be of no concern, except for the fact that Josh has left the team at the altar 4 years ago. Like, the back and forth that they're trying to figure out whether or not he wanted to actually be a head coach again and wanted to be with the Raiders does leave a little bit to make you think that, why is this going to happen again? Is he going to get hired and then all of a sudden leave, or is he going to fail? On top of that, isn't that the definition of tampering?
I was just going to say that.
Like that's like,
oh, he said back channels, though. So I was like, yeah, well, how do you go
if
about
Josh
that?
Josh McDaniels does this again, and there's no indication that he will, but if he does like this again,
yeah.
If he gets the job, and by all indications, he's the leader now,
mm-hmm.
If he gets the job in Vegas and then stands up Mark Davis at the altar and does this for a second time, that's it.
Well, then it would be funny.
Going to be considered for a head coaching job ever again.
And then it's like, I mean, Bill Belichick owns Josh McDaniels
yes,
at that point.
Because there's
He's literally the only one that will hire you.
You've reached your ceiling. You're an offensive coordinator. That's all you'll ever be.
Right. Then it's like, all right, dude. Just try
to. Welcome to the rest of your life. That office in the hallway.
Right,
get ready.
It. You're a slave to Bill Belichick.
So I had trouble sleeping last night, and I was thinking about this. This Tom Brady wavering, you know, retirement, stay with the Bucks thing. You know, there's always been talk about one more team. Yesterday we were talking about one more team.
Yeah.
One more run with Josh for a year in Vegas?
Is that team good enough that yes. Brady would want to go there in yes. That division?
Hunter Renfrow in the slot with Big Waller at tight end, and I think Ruggs is dead, done, you know, forever.
I would say that's probably
so they're
going
to eat that money. But you know, Zay Jones, if there's one thing Josh can do, he can draft wide receiver. He can. I mean, he had Demaryius Thomas and others, and Eric Decker. He had those guys in Denver. So I'm just, you know, he's got a good running game with Jacobs. They got a good defense coming along.
Yeah, but you got.
I'm just
the Chiefs
throwing it out there
and
like
the Chargers
wild.
In your division. I mean, that seems like.
But like, does that move the needle for Josh to say, yep, this is I'm going here.
Well, I do find it interesting that he would go to a team that's got a guy that I think is a mediocre quarterback. I mean, it's not like he's taking a chance on starting a new guy like a Justin Fields or something like that, or going to a place that's got a great quarterback.
Well, he could go to Mariota, who he likes. He always liked Mariota.
Oh, God.
No, but he always did. He was always linked to him.
I understand that, but you can't base your future on that guy.
No, all I'm saying is
it's a good theory.
Matt Corral's another kid they could draft and groom for a year because Brady's got a year or two, right? I mean, or he's done.
I think Brady's either done or
just
a
throwing
year.
Just
I think
throwing it out
year.
There. Just maybe there's a mystery team and it's the Raiders. If McDaniels goes.
I mean, that would be hysterical if you went basically from Mark. You went from Bob Kraft to Mark Davis.
That's true, too.
That would be pretty funny. I mean, you want to talk about... By the way, I'm starting to like Mark Davis.
But
as an owner, I'm starting to like Mark Davis.
How about this? The Raiders are no longer beholden to Carr at all. I mean, they're out from under that contract.
Yeah,
they can cut him and not have any dead cap money.
And not for nothing, but the way Carr played at the end of the year, he might be... I think he's worth a first-round pick. I think he is. So, how many elite quarterbacks are there in the league? Three? And then how many good quarterbacks
five.
Are there?
I think there's
seven?
I think there's five elite quarterbacks.
Okay.
And that might be
and then there's seven good ones. And everyone else is just
I don't even
miss.
Know if there are seven good ones.
All I'm saying is he's one of them.
Yeah.
He's one of those 10.
He's
at the bottom tier of the 10,
is
but he's there.
Is he worth the first round?
Absolutely.
That's a good question.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think he is
think
because
he is.
The way quarterbacks are, and you need a good one if you want to go anywhere, you need one of those top 10 quarterbacks if you want to go try and make a run to do anything. Yeah, I would think Carr would be
I'm
worth
sure
the first
Bert will
round
debunk
pick.
All this, but anyways.
It's an interesting theory. Listen, I don't think it's a bad theory at all. I mean, you know, I don't know if he's, you know, that excited to.
But they could draft. This year's draft's not strong, but late in the draft, there's kids that fit the McDaniels system. You know, Matt Corral's a kid that Kenny picked. There are guys there that they could groom for a year.
See, to me, the whole 49ers situation with Brady just makes too much sense. Like, that's everything. Like, he would, the way that they wouldn't have to pay Garoppolo, I mean, he's basically out of his contract.
It's Vegas, though. It doesn't matter. Come to Vegas and see Tom Brady on his final tour.
But you have to understand that the 49ers are the team that he's like always loved.
Yep.
And it's obviously San Francisco. It's, you know, where he grew up. To me, it just everything makes way too much sense. And it would be hysterical if he ended up knocking Jimmy Garoppolo out of a job. That would just be the final nail in the, you know, insult to injury coffin. And all the stories of him being locked out of the TB12 facilities, you know, hey, Jimmy, come on over here. And then, like, you know, screwing with him. It just seems to me like that would be too good of a story. So it probably, you know, won't happen now that we mention it. But as far as the Patriots are concerned, for all the criticism that Belichick and the team have received, it looks like they got themselves a nice little honor yesterday. Bill was named the NFL's Executive of the Year by the Pro Football Writers of America. On top of that, some other good news. I think it was Pro Football Focus that rated the Patriots as having the best draft class of the past season. And you take a look at the rankings and ratings of each one of the guys they drafted, there's really no question that this was a great draft.
Three of your top four draft picks were solid contributors.
Yep,
and that's the first time they've had that happen in any draft of theirs in 8-9 years.
It's been
a
long
time. They've had three rookies come in and make an impact.
Who else was in Gronk's draft class? I'm trying to remember that year because, I mean, obviously that's one you can look back upon and go, all right, well, that worked.
That's longer than that. Yeah.
It has been, what was that, 12, 13?
I think it's earlier than that.
2010.
Wow, it was 10. My God.
Yeah, it was. I'll look up the Patriots draft that year, but that was the Sam Bradford season. Woof.
Well, Sam Bradford was the last guy to ride the roller coaster before Disneyland shut down. He was, I think, the final rookie to be able to get that kind of deal that he got on his contract. I think he was the last.
Devin McCourty and Rob Gronkowski.
It's a good draft.
That's pretty much it, though. Oh, Aaron. Well, do you count Aaron Hernandez?
Yes.
Okay.
If you want to talk about pure draft, well,
Devin McCourty, I mean, Gronk, Brandon Hernandez, and you had Brandon Spikes in there.
Yeah. All right. That's a good draft.
That's not bad.
Hernandez is obviously a good player, but if you want to say he was a good draft pick, I mean, there's obviously questions there.
It's not Ty could have done background.
Devin McCourty and Rob Gronkowski were your first two drafts.
That's a great draft. Yes. That is it. You drafted, yes, and by the way, someone who wasn't obviously thought to be what he ended up becoming. Many people thought that Rob Gronkowski wouldn't be able to last. You know, obviously his injury history, they took really a chance on him, and he ended up being one of the greatest of all time. But on top of that, there's now a lot of talk because there's so many different quarterbacks who are dropping out of the Pro Bowl that Mac Jones may get the call to play on Sunday, February 6th. So, yay, Pro Bowl. Everybody loves the Pro Bowl.
I bet you gets a spike in pay, too.
I guess that's part of the deal. I think
Brady, did Brady make the Pro Bowl his second year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mac Jones, he was fine. What was it, 22 touchdowns, 13 picks, 3,800 yards?
I mean, it takes Burrow and dude, not, you know, not.
Well, I mean, right now, Mahomes is one of the quarterbacks technically listed on the AFC roster. He's not going to play. You're at a point now where, like they always are at this time of year, you're digging deep. The quarterback 6, 7, and 8 in each conference. And why not?
George.
Mac Jones.
What's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich. George, what's up?
Yeah, I got a comment about Brady going to the Raiders.
All right, go for it.
Never going to happen. If you grow up a Niners fan, you had Oakland across the way, and they got selfish. They were dirty in the 70s. They wanted more money, so they moved to L.A. They still wanted more money, so they moved back. It's a disaster. There's no way he'd lose all his self-respect if he went to the Raiders.
Okay. I'm sure he would be really worried about what people think.
Money talks.
Listen, everything he's worked for, he would be lost as far as reputation is concerned if he went to the Raiders for a final year.
Well, if all things being equal and both teams had the same offer on the table, he'd go to the Niners. Because I think that team's closer to winning a championship than the Raiders.
There's not a question. I mean, they're in the AFC. The NFC Championship right now. They're in the NFC Championship despite having a quarterback that is mediocre.
Listen, this is talk radio. I'm just throwing stuff out there. Who knows if it's happened? We're talking about Josh McDaniels actually accepting a job, and who knows? Back channeling. Maybe there's been back channeled conversations.
Brady sure as hell doesn't sound like a guy who wants to stay in Tampa.
Absolutely.
Every word that comes out of his mouth,
wants to retire,
He will if the right things happen between now and March.
What can happen?
Now and April. Bruce Arians gets fired. They go in free agency and get more guys.
Yeah, you bring Godwin back.
Aren't they stuck, though, as far as the money that they have? Aren't they pretty much stuck?
It's actually kind of similar to the Patriots. The Patriots this year signed a lot of guys. But what they can do is restructure their deals and give them the money this year and back. So, like, that's how the Patriots can get out of cap debt. The Bucs need to do the same exact thing. They're probably going to lose a couple of guys, though.
I just see Brady. The way he's talking sounded a lot like the way he talked at the end of his time with the Patriots. It's just it sounds like he's out. He's done. And whether that's out of playing football and altogether, or it's going to a different team, I just don't think next year. And you said that the Vegas odds shifted drastically in the past couple of days about Brady not being with the Buccaneers.
Yeah. Again, Lifshatz thinks he's done.
Done, period. Like, not with the Bucs, just done playing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I think it's all a ploy to get what he wants, because he basically runs the team anyway. I think Brady will play longer than this. I don't think Brady's done. I think he's down because it didn't work out for him in the playoffs, and he was beaten and battered by the end of it. And I think after a few weeks away, he'll have a renewed sense of purpose, and he'll go to Tampa Bay management and say, I want Arians gone.
All right.
If you get rid of Arians, I'll come back.
We'll see what Burt Breer has to say about all that. We'll have him on with us from the MMQB right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.